Dr. Horace Lowe is a general surgeon with SSM Health Greater Fond du Lac, well, I should say Fond du Lac Regional Clinic. And in the past, we've talked to him about colonoscopies, gallbladders, and reflux. None of that today. Good morning, Dr. Lowe.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I mean, they were all interesting topics, but something we haven't talked about before is hernias.
Which is somewhat odd because it is a very common thing. I mean, a lot of people think that is typically in males only, but males and females can get hernia and of various types.
Hey, and what exactly is a hernia?
So a hernia, generally speaking, from my standpoint, is a hole in the abdominal wall. So the easiest way to conceptualize this is the typical belly button hernia, which again is common in both men and women. The umbilical cord, when you're born, you know, when it shrivels up and falls off, the umbilical cord itself and the vessels contained within don't stop at the skin. They actually penetrate into the abdominal cavity, and the blood vessels travel up and over the liver to go to the heart in the fetus. So when the umbilical cord shrivels up and falls off, there's literally a hole in the abdominal cavity. You know, skin grows over it before it shrivels up and falls off, but that's the process. So there's a hole or a ring in the musculature of the abdominal wall that will be present there, and it will shrink down as, you know, as the baby develops over time. Sometimes it's left behind, and, you know, infants can have a belly button hernia as well. But in general, that shrinks down over time. But then as you age, and as we all get along in life and start lifting heavy objects, straining, maybe gaining some weight, and especially men who tend to accumulate weight in the abdomen or, you know, get a gut, so to speak, that puts pressure against that ring and starts to open up, and things start to fall through. That's why it actually looks like it's sticking out. Women will frequently see this as well during pregnancies. You know, there's that joke about the turkey timer, you know, the baby's done when the button pops out. And the idea is that actually it's the expanding uterus that puts pressure against the abdominal wall and makes that umbilical ring open up again. And then some stuff starts to pop through. And that's why hernias become an issue, is what falls through the hole, so to speak, is, you know, typically there's a layer of fat tissue in front of our intestines. There's also a layer of fat tissue right behind the muscles. So depending on the size of the hole or how big that ring gets, things start to fall through, typically fat tissue. But if it gets big enough, or if some of that fat slides out of the way, you can get intestines falling into the defect. If intestines fall into the defect, it's like kinking a garden hose, where whatever you're eating, the food, the stuff that travels through intestines can't travel through. So people can sometimes get obstructed from that if the intestines are pinched off in the ring. Or even worse, because the ring can be somewhat rigid, if enough stuff gets forced in there that it can't come back into the abdominal cavity, it can strangle itself or strangle its blood supply. And if that happens and there's intestine, it can rupture and leak intestinal contents into the abdominal cavity, which can lead to sepsis and infection and so forth. So hernias, you know, for the most part, are relatively benign. It's less likely for that to happen, but not impossible. The risk of that happening in any given hernia is about 1 in 1,000. But that's the prototypical hernia where, you know, you develop a hole in the abdominal wall and then things start to fall through. The other hernias that people tend to think about are the groin hernias, or inguinal hernias, as we call them. And that's, again, more typical in men. But the idea behind that is the same thing. There's a hole in the abdominal wall. The reason why inguinal or groin hernias tend to be more frequent in men is that during development, when the testicles develop, they develop on the inside of the abdomen. And then right before or just right after you're born, those testicles drop down to the scrotum. And when they do so, they kind of punch a hole through the inguinal region down to travel into the scrotum. And the blood supply, again, to the testicles leave a trap or a tunnel just because the blood supply, you know, travels with the testicles as they drop down the scrotum. So therefore, you have this hole that's already started. And again, gravity being what it is, men tending to, you know, do a lot of silly things and heavy lifting and weight gain inside the abdomen, they'll tend to enlarge that hole where you can get things dropping from inside the abdomen through the groin and develop a bulge in the groin, which is an inguinal hernia. So those are the two more common types of hernia. People can also get incisional hernias, where scar tissue, when you have an open abdominal surgery, those incisions never reach the same strength as normal intact tissue. It's just the way the scar tissue forms that it doesn't distribute tension evenly. And so any incision on the abdomen becomes a weak point, which can then stretch open, create a hole, same process occurs. So generally, that's the idea of what hernias are.
That was a long answer to a short question.
Well, it's easier to conceptualize if you give allegory to the whole situation. So that, it seemingly is a simple question if you just say, oh, it's a bulge or it's a hole in the abdominal wall. Mm-hmm. But to kind of view that as a concept, I feel it makes sense to describe it in those terms.
Well, how would you know? Is the only way to go to your physician?
Generally, people will notice, like, your typical outie belly button is actually typically a hernia. It's just a ring that hasn't closed. Mm-hmm. If those were to enlarge, if you get a new onset bulge along a scar or the belly button or down in the groin, those will typically be hernias. Not all hernias hurt. You'll see some people with like giant hernias that never had a problem with it. Conversely, you'll sometimes see people with small hernias that have a lot of pain from it. Again, typically it's activated by heavy lifting or straining where you kind of squish your abdominal wall muscles, and that forces more stuff into the hernias, kind of like squeezing a tube of toothpaste. You squirt more stuff through the hole. And as that builds up pressure, some people will get pain from that. So activity-related pain along your groin or belly button or along an incision, if you see a bulging there that you didn't have before, things like that will tend to indicate that there's a hernia.
All right. So how do you go about correcting it?
Well, first of all, not all hernias have to be corrected. Typically, it's a decision between the physician and the patient about, you know, is it causing a problem? Is it painful? Is it enlarging? Is there intestine in it? Is that at risk for turning into an emergency and those sorts of things? Mm-hmm. I would say that hernias do tend to enlarge over time, so there's that consideration as well. But not all hernias have to be fixed, and not all of them have to be fixed immediately, even if they do. So once that discussion occurs and if the patient decides to go ahead with surgery, generally the idea is to fix the hole. So much like a hole in a tire, you don't glue it, you don't sew it, you patch it. So a lot of times we will tend to use mesh and place that either on top of or behind the hernia and then close the hole overlying the mesh to kind of give a double reinforced repair. And that, you know, the idea is not necessarily the bulge is the problem, it's things falling into the hole that cause the problem. So we want to prevent that from happening.
So if you're having that procedure done, how much downtime are you talking here?
Well, to some degree, it relies on the size of the hernia, or depends on the size of the hernia. But for most surgeons, there is a limitation of the activity because we don't, you know, once we repair it, it's not, you know, immediately all that strong. We do rely on the body's own scar tissue to reinforce the mesh, to hold on to the sutures, whatever they are, and also to close the hole. So it just takes time for that to happen. Generally, there's about a 4 to 6 week time frame of healing where we just don't want a lot of tension against it. And usually that tension is revolving around heavy activity, heavy lifting, excessive straining. Again, using that tube of toothpaste analogy, anytime you squeeze the tube, it all comes out through the hole if it's uncapped. So even though we did cap the hole, so to speak, with a repair, it's still a little bit weaker. So we don't want a lot of pressure placed against it.
Okay, so I'm picturing somebody at a gym about to do a deadlift, hearing about this. Is there anything you can wear or to prevent something like that from happening?
Unfortunately, no. A lot of it depends on the anatomy. And unfortunately, if you're in the gym, again, you're working to try to prevent obesity. But one of the things that unfortunately is a problem for developing hernias is the more your abdomen protrudes outwards, the less mechanically sound it is. So, as they say, usually when you're exercising is to, tense your core or solidify your core or whatever. So basically sucking in your gut and tensing it, tends to try to restore the layers of the muscles to try to cover the holes. Pushing your belly outwards as you're straining tends to be worse for that because it tends to enlarge the holes. But that's basically all you can do. Unfortunately, it tends to be an anatomical problem that may develop over time based on how you're put together.
Mm-hmm. We always pick interesting subjects for breakfast time, don't we?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, they're not all that graphic. So, especially if you describe them in sort of generalized terms and give analogies that are kind of a little bit easier to conceptualize, but also less concerning for people who are eating breakfast at the time.
All right. If somebody wanted to contact you, maybe they suspect that they've got this issue or they just want more mm-hmm. information, how do they go about doing that?
So our clinic number is 920-745-3540. And that gets you into our office in surgery directly, or they can go through their primary care provider and get examined. Every primary care provider is well-versed on hernias and how to detect them. So either avenue is just fine.
All right. So was that your Ripon number then? Or
yes, that's the Ripon number.
Okay. Very good. I forgot to mention that you work, well, you see people at Fond du Lac, Ripon, and Waupun hospitals. So, all right.
Yeah, I'll operate at all those locations, but my primary clinic location and the area I spend the most time is at Ripon.
Okay. Very good. Dr. Lowe, thank you for joining us today. Have yourself a Merry Christmas. Appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you.
That is Dr. Horace Lowe, who's a general surgeon for SSM Health, Fond du Lac Regional Clinic. He does see patients in Fond du Lac, Ripon, and Waupun, mostly in Ripon, as you heard him. Appreciate his time this morning. Appreciate you spending time with us as well. Brad Anthony and the Ripon Good Radio Show are on the way.